and welcome to the In Business with SS9 podcast, giving businesses in SS9 and the surrounding areas the space to share their stories and put a voice to the brand.
Hosted by me, Charlotte Wood, and Emma Smith, we are two small business owners committed to supporting and promoting local businesses.
This is a series of unscripted and honest conversations with other local independent business owners where we discuss their experiences starting up and developing the companies that they are so passionate about.
Whether it's success stories or tough lessons learned, we want to get to know the people behind the brands and learn from their experiences along the way.
And if you're listening and think you'd like to get involved, then please get in touch with us via social media or email. All of the details can be found in the show notes.
We hope you enjoy listening.
Welcome, listeners, to Season 1, Episode 2 of the In Business with SS9 podcast. My name is Emma Smith, and I'm one half of this new podcast series. Today, I'm excited to be talking to my partner in this new adventure, Charlotte Wood from Rosewood Financial Planning. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi.
So Charlotte and I met at the beginning of both of our small business journeys, and what has inspired us both is the entrepreneurial spirit of our local area. Our podcast sets out to give local businesses a chance to share their stories, promote their services, and form a close relationship with listeners. So I had my turn in the last episode. Now we hear from Charlotte. So Charlotte, would you like to tell us a bit about you and your business?
Yes, sure. So I am a chartered financial planner, and Rosewood Financial Planning is just me, which was launched last year, obviously with your help. And so I started in financial planning as soon as I left school, but entirely by accident. I just wanted to start a career in the city, thought it sounded glamorous, and being finance also made it feel glamorous at the time. It wasn't, it turns out. So I landed in a financial services firm and really just found my feet, got to grips with it, and really enjoyed it. So I spent the next sort of 10 years learning, absorbing everything I could, qualifying, and sort of cutting my teeth on sitting in front of clients and just learning. I think what I would say is probably the basics of the skill set that I needed to do what I do now. And then after sort of 10 years doing that in employed roles, I could see that I was kind of done with the city, to be fair. I'd just gotten married. I didn't have any children at the time, but that was definitely on the radar for us. And we'd moved back down this way. So we're in Westcliff. The commute had got significantly longer, and I just thought, you know, do I really want to be wasting 3 hours? Well, that's what it felt like, wasting 3 hours of my day commuting. It didn't really feel like it was for me anymore. And also, I just didn't feel like I could spread my wings quite enough in an employed role. And I didn't feel like I was going to have the flexibility that I wanted going forward into hopefully motherhood. So I transitioned to self-employment about 3 years ago now. I'm still under a city firm. So, but I had complete autonomy over my work life. So I largely worked from home. I had complete control of sort of building my own client base, but was very much under someone else's brand, their brand message. And there were certain restrictions in place in how I could put myself out there and market, etc. So, for example, I couldn't, you know, touch social media. So that didn't feel like it was the right fit longer term. It was kind of a halfway house solution. So last year, with your help and the help of many other local people, I finally launched my own brand, Rosewood Financial Planning, in October 2019, while I was just on maternity leave with my, I think at the time, roughly 6-month-old. So I've been going now for just over 6 months by myself, and it's been exciting. And, you know, now being a business owner as well, it's a whole different kettle of fish, I think, compared to what it was before.
And can you tell us a bit about how you developed your brand? So what is Rosewood Financial Planning, and how are you different from some of your competitors?
Yeah, so I think for me, I was I was quite clear on what I wanted my brand, like mission, well, like my statement to be. I was quite clear on how I wanted to be perceived in my profession. So I didn't want to be seen as like wealth management. That's something that doesn't feel like it's in line with me. I wanted very much to be seen as a financial planner, which might not sound like very different, but in the profession, I feel like it probably does sound quite different. I wanted to be seen as very like, well, I am just an authentic person. Like I'm not, I can't put on like a glossy facade or anything. So and I am very like down to earth by nature. That's something that clients say to me quite a lot. They quite enjoy the fact that, you know, I don't walk in a fancy suit and high heels. I'm very chilled and generally speaking, talking about my dog within 5 minutes. Yeah, that was kind of very much what I wanted to be represented within my brand. And I also was very clear at the time, because at that point, when I was getting ready to launch the brand, I had just entered motherhood. And so my time became very restricted, as you can imagine. So I had to decide how I wanted my business to look going forward. And I knew that I wanted to specialize in retirement strategy.
Okay.
So very much the brand was also built around that, with that in mind, and to focus on that type of clients, basically. So yeah, it was just to be down to earth, no like limit jargon, try not to confuse people as much as possible. And just, I wanted it to feel like a bit of a breath of fresh air against lots of financial advice websites or brands that are, I guess a little more traditional is probably the safe yeah. way to put it.
No, that makes sense. And so you've got quite a sort of, not a niche target audience, but you're very, you know who you want to be talking to. How do you reach out to them and market yourself to them?
With the help of people like you, generally speaking. I'd like to, as I say, I'm 6 months in. I'd be lying if I said I think I've got it nailed. I definitely don't. And I think as well, as someone who, so I'm 30, and obviously targeting clients who are of a different generation, clearly. So generally speaking, in sort of late 50s, early 60s, maybe later. So we're not naturally in the same circles, I say. It would, obviously, in some ways, it'd be much simpler if I was targeting other young mums, for example, because I'm surrounded by them all the time. But yeah, I definitely think on my online presence, it has been really important. That's worked really well. The website has worked really well for me. And surprisingly, perhaps like social media, actually, which I was a bit on the fence. I had like different, like conflicting information about like whether that generation were really present on Facebook or Instagram. But yeah, I found that I get quite good engagement on that. And generally what I find is, where those people tend to find me is it will be like via social media, or there's some like financial advice websites, for example, like Unbiased, which I'm on, and people tend to use those, and then they'll do a bit more ground research, and that's where they'll look at, for example, my personal website, and then they'll get in touch that way. So yeah, definitely, I think online presence and obviously client referrals from your existing clients are really valuable.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Having a digital footprint is definitely beneficial. What about networking? Is that something that has been valuable to you, or have you sort of not engaged too heavily in it?
Yeah, I'll admit the last year, well, 18 months, I haven't really networked face to face, purely based on time of having a child at home. I work 2 days a week, so those have to, for obvious reasons, have to like be my client focused time. Yeah. So networking does feel like a little bit of a luxury to me at the moment. But certainly before that, I did a lot of networking, and particularly up in the city. And what I found really valuable for my particular business was more actually the like professional connections that I would make. So I, you know, met some fantastic solicitors in very like various different areas, and we still cross refer now. Some mortgage advisors, so I don't give mortgage advice. So that's a really good source of like referrals both ways. Accountants. So that's where it's like the value of networking for me, but also just meeting other like-minded like business people and generally speaking, women, to be honest, because a lot of the networking groups that I've been to are women focused groups. And, you know, you do just naturally meet other like-minded business women, which is interesting because I think everyone's got a story to tell.
Yeah, there's definitely a value in sort of maintaining and building relationships with complementary businesses. I think that's something that all small business owners should really consider. So what have you done? Can you share something that you've done that's been really invaluable to your business?
Yeah, so, well, there's a couple of things. We've touched on it already, but specialising for me has been really worthwhile. I think it's quite scary to niche and to effectively say, you know, I've got all these strings to my bow, but I'm only going to focus on one. Because as a business, there's a part of you that's going, oh, I'm cutting myself off from, you know, using any of those skills or that knowledge, and also potentially the loss of income from not, you know, pursuing those avenues. Yeah. So that was quite scary. But for me, it was a case of, so as I mentioned, I specialize in retirement strategy and, you know, assisting people through like pre-retirement, the couple of years before retirement, then through that process into retirement and beyond. And that for me felt like the area I was most interested in. It's because it's genuinely very like those people have had decades of a life. Everyone's really different in what they want, where they are in their lives, and how they want their life to look going forward. So for me, it's something I can really like get my teeth into. It's also, frankly, like a profitable area of financial planning, which as a business is important. So it felt like that's where I wanted to focus my time. And when I'm working 2 days a week, it's just impossible to say, well, I can take on anything, because without taking on staff, which I don't feel like I'm in the right place for at the moment, it's just unfeasible to have possibly taken on every client that came my way.
Yeah.
So that worked really well for me as a business, and really focusing my business around that. When I sort of committed, like said, I'm going to niche on this and I'm going to commit to it, that's worked really well. And also outsourcing. So again, 2 days a week means I have to focus on, you know, the client communication element of the job, which means I've outsourced basically everything else. So I do limited sort of back office admin and research. I outsource my social media, outsource my marketing, outsource my website updates, my accounting. So just probably more. I can't think off the top of my head. And for a small business, when you're starting out, that I think is really intimidating and painful, frankly. When you're looking, you know, you're paying out lots of invoices, and as a new business, you're never really sure if you're getting them back in. But it definitely pays dividends. I think the client communication element of the job is the bit you would expect that I enjoy the most. And some of the like technical research parts or writing of reports and stuff can be it's just not the parts of the job that I personally enjoy the most. So when you sort of get rid of that stuff that isn't necessarily of interest to me, and then having that time to really focus on the bits that are, I think I enjoy the work a lot more. And I think the time that you save on not doing that stuff that you don't enjoy is invaluable as well. Like, that's worked really well for me.
Yeah, I think it's quite empowering, isn't it, to admit that there's certain areas that you don't enjoy and either outsource them as you have or say no to them. So I've had situations where people have asked if I can provide certain services. And when I've had a good think about whether it's something I actually enjoy, saying no to something can be quite empowering, but it's all generally always the right business decision, because it's coming from your heart and your head.
I think it's hard as well to really commit to that as a value. I do think that having like a child has really helped with that, because it just immediately makes your time so much more valuable.
Yes.
Not just because you have less of it to work, but also I can't help but think in my mind, so if for example I'm working in the evening, or you know, my husband's taken over with like dinner time and bath time so that I can do some stuff, That for me is also like, it's time away from my child. It's time that I'm not spending with him while he's young. And so I regularly say to myself, like, if I'm sitting at my desk, like, is this something that I'm enjoying enough to not be spending that time with my child? And I think it really puts a different, whereas before I had him, I was just like, yeah, like I had nothing better to do. Do you know what I mean? So you just sort of, you'd do anything really just for the sake of feeling like you're going in the right direction. So I think it definitely has made me like more cutthroat as a business, which I think is good.
Yeah, because if you're passionate, you're going to be providing the best service. Yeah. And is there any more advice that you'd offer someone if they were thinking about starting their own business or scaling up their own business?
So I always think, so this isn't just my own personal experience. This is from like speaking to lots of other mums generally, to be honest, who have launched their own businesses or gone alone, so to speak, on their own thing. And generally speaking, the message is always like, just like make the leap, like take the next step. Like, even if you don't feel like you're ready, you don't have to have a perfect website. You don't have to have, perfect marketing literature or, just whatever it is that you're planning on doing, just do it. Just take the next leap. Or I speak to lots of people who will say like, oh, I really want to do this, but I'm too scared to, it might not be financially the right time. I need to focus on my employed job so I don't feel like I can focus on the sideline that I want to actually be my job going forward. And I just think there comes a point where you just have to go, you know what, I'm going to do it. And even though it's really scary, and I think that's, the value of, in business, you just have to, I think, take, you naturally a risk taker to a certain extent. So yeah, that would definitely be something I would, encourage people to do. Like, you at some point take the leap, just jump in.
Yeah, just do it. And so what's next for you? So what would be your next kind of move?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like I'm in a good place for the business at the moment. I'm really happy with how things are going, how the brand message is sort of being received. I have some ideas. I'm certainly not ready to expand. I just don't think, having a young family, I still want to be able to focus on that as well. So yeah. I'm certainly not about to take on a premises or take on a staff or anything like that. And when you are a one woman band, as it were, obviously your capacity is somewhat limited. So I certainly don't want to be in a situation where I'm growing too fast to be able to handle.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I'm kind of happy with how it's going. But what I would really like to do is set up an academy service. So I think there are lots of people who really need financial help or just feel like they could need a nudge in the right direction or some education, but don't necessarily feel like they're in the right place to have full financial planning, or sometimes frankly also can't afford it. So I still want to be able to help those people, so I'm hoping to set up an online academy service later this year via my website, which will just be information effectively, and help guide people to understand some of the basics of financial planning. So whether it's how to set up yourself a pension if you're a sole trader or a limited company, the tax benefits of doing that and how the tax works, down to basic home budgeting, stuff like that, which to a lot of people is probably quite straightforward, but also to a lot of other people really isn't. And when we have an education system that doesn't provide any sort of financial education whatsoever, yeah, we're all coming out of university or school really with really limited understanding of what we're getting into as being homeowners or taking out credit cards, starting pensions. Quite often we just don't even understand what that really is. So yeah, that's kind of the next thing I want to spend some time on, really.
That sounds great. I was going to mention, actually, because I think it's been brought up in the news a couple of times recently about the lack of financial education in schools for young people. And yeah, that's definitely something that for the future, people should have a better steer on.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's stuff like understanding like good debt versus bad debt. You know, it's particularly if you're, you know, a sixth former, for example, and you're looking at going to university, and you will inevitably end up in an element of debt. And some of that will be good debt, i.e. student debt, and some of that may be bad debt, like interest paying credit card debt. And it's just understanding the difference between, I think sometimes people don't understand what the difference is. And as I say, there's not enough education around it. And stuff like the pros and cons of being a homeowner versus renting. You know, I didn't have any sort of information on that when I was at school. I know it's a while ago now, but I don't think that's changed. I think we're just really lacking in it, really.
Well, it sounds like you've got lots of ideas for the future, so I'm sure the future is bright for Rosewood Financial Planning. Are there any particular messages or services that you'd like to share with our listeners at this point?
Yes, so I currently am offering a free retirement ready checklist on my website, which is www.rosewoodfp.co.uk. You have to sign up to my mailing list. I send out a quarterly newsletter with some helpful and useful information and my most recent blog posts. But the checklist is just a 7-point checklist for anyone who's considering entering retirement in the next few years to just start getting your ducks in a row, or just start to think about some of the things that you can do yourself, because quite often someone will come to me at that stage of life and I'll ask them, you know, have you done this, have you done this, have you done this, and they'll say, oh no, actually I haven't. So before I can really help them, there's an element of homework involved effectively. Yeah. So it's really just allowing people to sort of tick some of those things off that they can do for themselves to start getting their finances in order, really. Yeah, so I'm primarily on Facebook. So my handle on Facebook is at RosewoodFP. And I'm also on Instagram as well. Spoiler alert, you will inevitably see a few photos of my dog in my stories. And my handle on there is at charlotte.rosewoodfp. And obviously, I've already mentioned my website, but that again is just www.rosewoodfp.co.uk.
Cool. It's been great speaking to you, Charlotte. Thank you very much. And if anyone would like to reach out to Charlotte or I, you can also follow the In Business with SS9 Instagram page, which is at In Business with SS9, to contact us. And obviously, if you would like to be featured in the next series, please do get in touch. But it's, I hope you'll agree, been great listening to Charlotte talk about her business. Thank you very much, Charlotte.
Thank you.
And we hope you will be tuning in for episode 3. Yep. So thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.